My word. I knew the life cycle of a cow, the atomic structure of sucrose, but the experience.
Yeah, well, ice cream is good.
Hello and welcome to episode 128 of After All This Time, always with me, your host, Mr. Tom Toll.
Me, Mr. Patrick Holland.
And some say he's the night bus of the podcast, yes, because he drives round in a vehicle full of racist stereotypes, picking up vulnerable kids in the dead of the night. It's producer Joe Power! That was a mouthful.
That was good fun.
me just doing my Lenny Henry impressions.
Really
picking up kids
that,
on their
really
own.
You've got to stop it.
That's a horrible but funny image.
Episode 128. This has been fun already.
God, how 128, guys. It's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot of hours.
Is that a good IQ?
I watched some of the cricket, and the guy in the cricket, Zach Crawley, hit 267.
Oh, okay.
And so I think when he was in the 128 mark, he probably was thinking, oh, maybe I can get on to 150 or 200. And I think that's what we've got to do here. We just kind of go, yeah, let's just keep going.
Like, you know, we're going to Zach crawl our way to 200.
Our way, get there, just enjoy what we're doing, but not too much.
Not enough.
Not in a really good sense. Let's just get there, guys.
The really loyal listeners will make it to 250.
Maybe our new tagline should just be quantity, not quality.
We're not offended if you say bye, guys, forever. There's just lots.
Oh man, imagine that. Is that what you're going to do on our last ever show? Say bye, guys, forever.
No, I should deliver it like when they when Roger is really upset Tia and Tamira, and he's like, I know, go home, Roger, and they're like, no, go home, Roger, for good. So they'll be like, bye, the listeners will be like, I know, bye, guys. I'm like, no,
yes.
Bye, guys, for good. Bye, guys, for good.
Yeah, that sounds upset.
How are you guys? Yeah, very upset. How are you guys anyway? How's your week been?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, week's been okay, but I'm a little put off right now, if I'm honest, because I feel like there was some kind of conversation about coordinating outfits for this recording, and I didn't get that memo. But you both wearing a t-shirt the exact same colour.
That's really funny. Tom, where's that from, that T-shirt?
It's got to be one and only Primark, I think. Surely, yeah.
Just as cheap, H&M. I tell you what, if you want a good cheap T-shirt, H&M have got great colours. $3.99 a T-shirt, all plain. Mm. Yes, please. 10. Okay. Not 10. Too many. That's
Who's
way
being
too
exploited?
Many.
Exploited? Not me. Give it here.
But yeah, so, I'm all right. How are you? How are you, Tom? Where are you? You're in unfamiliar surroundings. Or at least
I'm in my in-laws, at my in-laws in on the Wirral. And went to the beach today. I've done lots of stuff over the last 3 days. Literally just gone straight at it. Gone fairy hunting yesterday. We went kite flying.
I thought you said ferry.
No, ferry.
By the Mersey. Right.
Yeah, ferries by the Merseys.
Yes, that makes sense.
Then we went and flew a kite yesterday.
Wholesome.
Up to the highest height?
Up to the highest height. And I hate that film, but I do enjoy that song.
Did you feed the birds? It's another song from that film.
No. but I did have a spoonful of no, I didn't. Not even that.
You didn't. No. Imagine. Just getting a spoon in the sugar jar, down in one, down the hatch. Oh, yeah, fuck, speaking of which,
I'd rather just the medicine.
It was my youngest nephew's birthday the other week, and his older brother, who's like 14, it was really funny. He had a Colin the Caterpillar birthday cake, and he just went to me, right, let's crack this bad boy open, which really made me laugh. And then as he came back holding a slice, he went, down the hatch.
Joe, is your 14-year-old nephew, where's
he's from 1914.
I didn't know you're related to Dick Van Dyke. That's cool.
He's going to have a rough couple years.
But yeah, so Pat, how was your week outside of not getting the memo about t-shirts?
Yeah, it was absolutely fine. You?
Yeah, it was good. I saw Tom in real life.
We met up and had a game of tennis.
Was the invite on that memo that I
exactly? You didn't read it. You didn't.
I just didn't receive it.
Didn't receive it. It was good, wasn't it, Tom?
Yeah,
we got to hang out. It was quite fun because we'd play a game, finish a game, and then we'd walk to the net, and then we'd start talking about the podcast. So we were like chatting shop.
Yeah, right.
So like on a business lunch, playing tennis, like two old professionals.
It wasn't too competitive because I was aware that I hadn't played a game of tennis for about 12 years. Mm. But then once I got better, the game got better because it was 6-love the first set to Joe. And I was happy getting points in that. Mm-hmm. And then the second set was 7-5.
So it was good. You pulled it right back.
And I'd quite like to do it again because you kind of forget you're exercising when you do tennis.
You do. Yeah, it's good fun. You were very funny, though, at one point because I think I was up, like, I don't know, I'd won 6-love in the first set. And then I think I'd won the first two games in the second set, and you were serving. You know, oh, if it keeps going this way, you might just break my bloody serve this afternoon.
Tonight.
That was very funny. Tickled me. But
it was. I'm a tickly guy.
Then you started winning games, and it was down to business.
Yeah. Once I realised the game was on,
the small stuff.
There was no play. But that was good. Yeah, it was nice to see you because I've only seen you once in 6 months.
Yeah. Which has been
equally as nice.
Yeah, just as nice.
Absolutely fine.
Absolutely fine with it. Just pointing out that's what the situation is. So yeah, that was it was very nice to see you, to catch up. And yeah, then yeah, left, saw my brother that night as well, and then then came up here. I've watched Infinity War with my wife.
Oh wow. So you really
cracked
on.
We watched it and it got to about 1 o'clock in the morning and she went, I can't. She then started laying out the conditions. She was like, I can't. Can we skip Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel and go straight to Endgame? And can
she
we
wanted to
now?
Do Endgame that night.
She would, yeah. Attempted to, didn't happen because we got about an hour in, she was falling asleep. But she was like, I need to know that this was her words, I need to know that somebody's doing something,
right?
So I explained to her, actually, technically, you know what? All you need from Ant-Man and the Wasp and all you need from Captain Marvel is the last bit of those films. So if you want to skip and we'll go back and watch them, I'm fine with that.
So, yeah.
So we agreed, but we still haven't watched the end of Endgame because we then came up here and have been far too busy doing stuff during the day too tired by the time night comes around to
so you're still
it.
In you're still in the Endgame.
Still in the Endgame. She has about 45 minutes left, I think, something like that, maybe.
The last 45 minutes?
Yeah, how can you turn it off then?
Yeah, she was just too tired. But yeah, she doesn't know yet. Right. She doesn't know.
Okay, well, no, obviously I won't say anything.
So, well, she's not far from finding out.
I know. But she doesn't know, and I don't know how she's going to take it. I don't know how she's going to take it.
I don't know, but it's
been weird because she said, I was like, oh, imagine having to wait 18 months for that. She was like, yeah, I just wouldn't have been.
I just wouldn't.
She's like, she's like, this is why I prefer to wait for box sets and just do them all in one, you know, because it's the idea of her waiting from Infinity War to Endgame. She was like, I couldn't, but I am going to try and well, I don't know, I don't know what Black Widow is, but I'm going to try and make Marvel movies.
We all
go watch them, yeah. I'm going to try and make a Marvel movie, mate. Make my own one. Try and go into Marvel movies, like, because normally it's me by myself, or if the certificate's small enough, I can take Elsa.
Yeah.
Young enough. But
so what would you be? The Magnificent Tom?
Ooh. I think I'd be Superman.
You'd just be Superman?
No, but not Superman. Me. It's a different super, but Superman.
You are a Superman.
Yeah, a Superman.
A Superman.
A Superman. very careful to put a Superman. Yeah.
Space would between. What would I be if I was going to be a superhero? I don't know. I'll tell you off mic. What me and. Me and George said if we were members of the X-Men what our powers would be, but on mic it's not really family listening. I could probably hint at what mine would be. It would be,
could you tell us, Joe cut out and the listeners would just hear mine and Joe's reaction to what your mutant powers would be.
Okay. I would have the power to give from distance.
Okay.
So it's like 200.
What would your name be with that?
I can't remember what it was. I think it was.
Okay, go on and put the name in.
You can't put the name in.
I'm keeping the name, but
imagine like 200 soldiers running at you with their guns up, and you could just like, doodaloo, and then they're all just suddenly bent.
That's effective.
They're all just suddenly bent double. They can't. They've got to regroup, and then you quickly do it again and again. After a while, it's agony. But also,
you would know.
But in your private life,
that joke's not for anyone because I'm about to bleep out what it is.
Take my word for it, boys. You don't want that.
Oh. Well, listeners, I can only apologise that you don't get that joke.
In your private life, it would be very handy as well.
Yes, so they can probably guess what it is now.
Dual purpose power.
Yes, I agree. That's a good one, Pat.
Joe's firstborn.
Lovely. Lovely men. Right, what were we talking about? Tom, you're on holiday. You're taking a break.
Taking a break?
I thought we already talked about this. He's gone hunting for a ferry by the Mersey.
When Tom does his big monologue at the start, I tune out.
What have you been up to, Joe?
How is that a monologue? A monologue's not Pat interacted and did the fairy gag.
Yeah, it was the definition of a dialogue.
Yeah,
very dire.
We could have made it a trialogue if you had come on board.
A trialogue.
Oh, I was trialogging. All right, well, we've had a good week. I haven't really written down any notes for this week's show, guys.
That's all right. I've got a couple peeves.
You got some peeves? Lovely, let's do it.
I've got some peeves. So, Joe, you said the Big Show was a quarter of a ton?
Weighing in at 500 pounds.
500 pounds.
Well, I've got his weight here as 174 kilograms, uh-huh. And a ton is 907 kilograms. So he's just under a fifth
ton. I think it was just, he was famously announced as being 500 pounds, but I think that was just a lie, wasn't it, Tom?
No.
So Tom,
he was never 500 pounds, was he?
Don't know, he's a big boy.
He's a big, big show.
But was he ever 500 pounds? That was just the famous thing as he walked down to the room. Weighing in 500 pounds.
Why would they lie?
I don't know. Why would... You tell me, mate.
Because the whole thing's a big show. But
it is a big show.
So yeah. Tom's answer of the, what was it, Nutella? Mm. It would be 200 million big shows. Mm. Now, we were trying to look at, for context, what is 40 million of anything. Americans are apparently discarding nearly 40 million tons of food every year.
Wow.
Humanity is generating around 40 million tons of electronic waste every year worldwide. That's like throwing 800 laptops away every second. Now, I'm not doing it.
No.
Are you?
Top-notch research there, Attenborough. Great
Thanks.
Stuff.
Thanks. But so if I'm not doing it, you're not doing it. Joe, you must be throwing away 800 laptops every second.
I'm not throwing away any blooming laptops, actually.
So you're keeping 800 laptops right now?
No.
And another 800 right now. And another 800. That sounds implausible. But those are my peeves.
Oh, really? No peeves about the colour of T-shirts?
Well, no, that's from this week's episode.
Okay, well, so for next week.
Well, I've already raised it.
Just remember, Pat, on Mondays we wear green.
on Mondays we wear green, Patrick. Lovely stuff. I'd remember that for next week, but we're not recording next week.
Oh, yeah,
listeners, there probably won't be a show next week.
So I'm going to forget it in 2 weeks' time.
There'll be something, though. There will be something out next week. Sorry, listeners. I'll explain it. I'll send you an email.
On the subject of that quote, I remember, because last week, obviously, Pat, you had finally watched 10 Things I Hate About You.
Mm.
I remember sitting a very sceptical Joe Power down to watch Mean Girls, and... within 10 seconds, you knew he was hooked. Yeah. I remember having very vivid... I vividly remember having a conversation with him. He was like, I don't think I'll enjoy it. And I was like, no, yeah. You will. You definitely will. Yeah. And, now I think he raps Kevin G's...
I never trust... I did... I always... I, for some reason, I just don't trust you. I do... But why? I do... But, I, but ten... you've got such a good track record.
That thing you do... Right?
Yes.
Mean Girls.
Yes.
Once. There are others.
Once is another one that you showed me.
Once. There you go. I don't think I've ever shown a... I probably have.
You probably have, but I don't think you... But like, as you describe it, sat me down, to watch a film. I think you've done that three times. They're the only three times I can think of. 100% record thus far.
Well, that thing you do, I didn't sit you down. I bought you a DVD for your birthday. And then 10 years for you to put it in the DVD player.
I think longer than that. I think I think because if you're right and you bought it for me for my 16th birthday, I just had the equivalent of that life again and then I watched it.
Was it the equivalent? Oh, equivalent time, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. So another 16. It was, I mean, it didn't
wasn't
compare.
As good as the first, wasn't as good as the first 16, was it? For any of us, let's face it.
No.
And this next 16, God, a shocker.
You wait,
God,
you'd
be crying out for 16 to 32.
Okay, so Tom, have you got any peeves?
No, I only listened to the beginning bit of the episode this morning, and cool. I was very impressed with how Pat had put the counter argument to why 10 Things I Hate About You wasn't a good film.
It was good.
And then the fact that he did like it, I was even more impressed because it meant that he had really thought about the negatives of the film, yet chose to ignore them, which means he's a true fan.
Like I said, one of the things that I threw as a criticism was the sort of slapsticky moments. And because they were so rare, I think by the time the sort of elastic exercise thing he's using shoots out of his hand and makes that noise, I laughed and went, there's only been like two or three moments like that in this film. They really haven't overdone that because that could get annoying. And then I thought, I'm going to make that a criticism. It was something I liked, but I'm going to twist it into something I don't like.
Yeah, you're right. Arrow in the butt, pulling the thing. I spat on Michael's
motorcycle
ride down the
Oh yeah,
balls.
That's a great shouting of my balls. Yeah. But yeah, okay. Well, then my only peeve, Tom, is that I can assume from your absence of I know because you've already said it. You haven't heard the post credits from last week because I assume that would have been your peeve.
Yeah, that would have been your peeve.
Listeners, I strongly urge you to listen to the post credits of last week's show if you didn't
The post credits of last week's?
It was recorded when we'd initially tried to record last week's episode, and you were having technical issues.
Okay.
And it was just a conversation between me and Pat.
Jesus Christ. Oh, let's put technical issues. Next time you two technically have issues, I'm going to record it as a podcast and put it out there.
That'd be good. How would you do that?
It might win an award for some hard-hitting... some hard-hitting frank conversations. You totally should do that.
All right, guys. Well, I don't know what do you want to do? What do you want to do?
Do you want to watch something?
Quiz?
Should we kick back? Let's just chill out this week. I'll tell you what we can do. I think it's time that we all acknowledge, and you guys are enablers. It was a breakdown. I was happy.
That's good. This is gross.
This is growth.
Hang on, is this the prank podcast we're doing?
Disgusting, in fact, Pat.
Me go on for 2 months about this. Yeah, we are enablers. Is it over?
We're going to end it with not with a bang, with a whimper. I'm going to whimper on about a little ice cream called the Biscoff.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was all right. I mean, really, we're not going to... That was the only new ice cream I tried this week. And we're at the end of ice cream season, I think.
Mm.
The nights are drawing in. We're recording in the dark, guys.
Yeah, it's nice.
I've had a few ice creams this week, mate.
Oh, I want to hear about them. I will say, just quickly, my review of the Biscoff, it's okay. I don't think I'd have a second one. The chocolate isn't great. But I think it's another... Along with the... Oh, my peeve was someone told me how to pronounce extreme. I think it's extreme.
Extreme.
Definitely extreme.
Because you teed it up by saying someone told me how to pronounce extreme.
Yeah.
And then pronounced it wrong.
Then I pronounced it incorrectly. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
They've had you over there, mate.
They are over a barrel, sir. Where they got the barrel from?
Up right like a kipper.
But anyway, it's another autumnal ice cream, I would say. It's a Sunday autumnal ice cream. Tom, talk to me about your ice creams, please.
No, hang on. That's the problem with the Biscoff. Just the chocolate's not all that.
It wasn't quite the Haagen-Dazs salted caramel. It wasn't a DNF for me.
Okay.
But it wasn't far. I wouldn't have been able to do much more of it if it wasn't any bigger.
What's wrong with it? I'm only saying this because we've had We've had two listeners recommend the Biscoff. Now,
this is the thing. This is what's made me realise that I think it was a breakdown. Because I'm slowly waking up, and all of a sudden, my finger's not on the pulse of what the country wants.
Yeah.
But everyone's telling me the Biscoff is what you need. I don't think it was all that. And I'm sorry. It's only if I'm going to say something as controversial as that, I have to step down from my position.
Maybe it's the right Tom's thing to right. Do. Maybe it was what you needed to snap
it was
out.
What
of
you
it.
Needed because it gave you a clarity, sense of clarity.
Clarity. Yeah. I don't even like ice cream.
Maybe a spoonful of sugar was not what you needed to help the medicine go down.
No, it's made me ill.
Yes, I'm now lactose intolerant.
And I will not stand for it.
I will not tolerate lactose.
Tom, talk to me about your ice creams.
Classic 99 from the ice cream van.
Lovely.
From the ice cream van. Lovely stuff. What's any sauce? Any toppings?
Raspberry.
Lovely.
Raspberry sauce. They didn't have a chocolate sauce.
I would have gone for chocolate. And if they said no chocolate, I would have said, well, you're not an ice cream van, not a set fire to it. Tom?
Hashtag not a breakdown. So we and then today we were at a pier in Llandudno in North Wales, and I went to this thing, and I was like, going to get a 99. Now I noticed they had blended ice cream, and it was chocolate, and it was blended, and it was, so it's like from the machine, because normally if you ask for a chocolate in a cone, it will be a scoop.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a blended ice cream. And then, oh, I just realised I had another one. I had another heavenly chocolate in a cone from a cafe, and that was delicious.
Heavenly.
Yeah, no store-bought. Three of those.
Oh, okay, so for the Welsh listeners, go to where Tom said in.
Go there. It's delicious, absolutely delicious. And then Elsa was like, "I don't want ice cream." And then I give her my flake, even though I loved flake. And now I've set a precedent, a dangerous precedent of giving
that
my flake away.
That is very dangerous, Tom. That, I mean, lovely dad move, by the way.
Yeah, great dad move. I thought you were going to set yourself up for, even though I love the flake, I love my daughter more. That's what I thought you were building to.
No, not at all.
No, you cannot let that become the tradition of family holidays.
No, I gave the 99 flake, the flake from the 99 away the previous day. And then today I had the flake and I gave it to her. And ate it, and I had a bite and gave her, and she had the rest. And then she went, "Oh, that, can I have what you just had?" Because I said, "Do you want ice cream?" She said, "No." And I went, "Yeah, yeah." So I queued up, got her that. And then what I did, right? Classic maneuver. Waited till she had finished her flake, and then went, "Oh, did you not save me any flake? Because I gave you yours." She went, "Oh, no." I went, "Don't worry about it."
You know, you can buy flakes just on their own.
Oh, what? But have they previously been in ice cream and been removed?
No, they've not been dipped. That's what they should sell. Pre-dipped flakes.
Pre-dipped flakes.
That's Cadbury's next big...
yes.
I don't know.
Thing?
Next big bankruptcy.
Chocolate. The next big chocolate.
Chocolate bar.
So what were we saying, Joe? How is your men's mental health now? Are you saying you don't need ice cream?
Well, guys, we're coming up to autumn, and I promised that I'd review a lot of biscuits in autumn. So that's next on the agenda. I'm going
to
start.
You're not much of a tea drinker, but for your biscuit review, I'd be quite curious to know which ones are the most durable at holding their strength, which ones are, and I don't want to offend any biscuits here, but frail little weaklings that can't handle the heat.
I'm just imagining Pat dipping a biscuit in and then it falling in and just him bemoaning it.
Bullying the biscuit.
Frail little weakling.
Well, how about this? Because I'm not really a tea drinker. But I can review some biscuits. Then the tea drinkers among us can come back with the tea durability ratings.
That'll be Pat. I don't drink tea either.
So Pat can eat the same biscuits.
I've just got to
keep, and you know, keep calling it the tea drinkers amongst us.
The tea drinkers amongst us. That's what we've always called him that.
Yeah.
Yeah, plural. Yeah.
For the tea drinkers amongst us.
I don't know. I don't want to eat that many biscuits a week.
Neither do I, mate, but I'm having a breakdown. So you're coming along this road with me.
All right.
Yeah, right.
What are we reviewing first?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Remember when we used to talk about Harry Potter? Harry Potter ate biscuits. I'm sure we'll find something.
Yeah, in Philosopher's Stone, Uncle Vernon goes, "Right you are, Harry." And he takes a biscuit off his plate.
Yeah. He does. Isn't it a rich tea?
I think it might be.
It looks like a rich tea. We can talk about rich teas. How do they cope with tea, Patrick? Are they good, or do you need a digestive?
No, they're quite good. They're quite sturdy. The outside goes soggy, but if you don't dip them for too long, the inside retains a little crunch.
Okay.
But if you hold it, it's a quick dip though. You've got to be a very quick dip.
Right. Okay. See, this is the sort of chat you can expect over the colder months, listeners.
Do you vary your biscuits, Pat, or is there one biscuit you'd always buy for tea dipping?
Yeah, like, if I can't be bothered to think about it, it's a custard cream.
Okay.
I think custard cream is so out there on its own that it doesn't need the tea.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't think it requires a tea.
I like the ceremony of taking apart a custard cream. I like the ceremony of taking it apart. You lick the cream, you then bite it into a diamond, and then you put the diamond in the mouth.
That is quite the ceremony.
He lights a candle.
The only thing that's missing is trumpets.
No, trumpets are there as well.
He's got them on retainer.
Yeah. No, four piece. If you were to dip it in that tea, how would you eat that custard cream?
Dip about, I'd say, 3/4 in, maybe 2/3. Bite the mushy, hot, soggy end.
Okay.
Pop the rest in, so you've got a mix of mush and crunch.
If you weren't to dip it in the tea, how would you eat a custard cream?
I don't think I've pulled a custard cream apart in years, mainly because I can't seem to get my hands on a particularly good custard cream.
Sounds like I'm after information.
That can withstand being pulled apart. Every custard cream I've tried to pull apart, and I'm saying that probably the last attempt was about 4 years ago, it's breaking off into the diamond when I'm lifting it off.
Yeah, so I'm only getting it. Don't pull it apart. Use your mouth. Mouth to take off the first layer. Then you've got the cream. Lick that with the thing. Spin it round. Bite the diamond. You got the diamond in the mouth.
In the gold. Done. Tom, I'm going to upset you here, but my method for eating a custard cream is have a bite, that's about half of it, swallow that, and then pop in the second half. That's how I eat my custard creams. No ceremony, no flamboyancy, just route one, custard cream eating.
Yeah, a bit...
No pomp, just all circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely no
Very
pomp.
Circumstantial.
Circumstantial evidence. Listen, if that's how you enjoy your custard cream, that's how you enjoy your custard
circumstantially.
Cream.
Circumstantial custard creams. That's
I don't
me.
Think you'd ever find me doing that.
I would hate to. Imagine if I walked in on you, sat in a room, just eating custard creams like you'd eat a burger.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, no, but you've got to take the burger apart, scrape off the beef with your teeth.
Give it a lick.
Give it a lick, get the sauce.
Guys, should we...
Well, that's 37 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, yeah, you could tell. Listeners, you should
know
that we love doing this podcast, but Tom's on holiday. I'm away next week. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. We've got something else that will go out next Thursday for you. Something we've been doing for a little while. We're hoping to make it a regular thing, but you'll have to let us know whether it's actually entertaining or not. But you'll hear that next week. So I guess, guys, we should wrap this thing up and have a little quiz, shall we?
Yeah.
Nice. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, last week you drew the actual quiz, so the subjects remain as 10 Things I Hate About You and 40 Towers. Mm-hmm. Tom, we will start with you with 10 Things I Hate About You. 5 questions. Question 1. Into which college is Kat accepted?
Sarah Lawrence.
Correct. According to the rumour, how much of a live duck did Patrick once eat?
Everything but the beak and the feet.
Everything but the beak and feet. Very good. Which word does Kat offer up to Miss Perky as another word for engorged?
Tumescent.
Very good. Yes. Tumescent.
Is that her name as well? Miss Perky? Is that what Miss Alistair Perky, Jones, yeah. Character? Oh,
that's why that's why the teacher goes, Perkies, now.
What does Mr. Stratford make Bianca do before going to Bogey Lowenstein's party?
Wear the belly.
Wear the belly. And last question. At which club can Patrick not be seen at, yet is friends with the barman somehow?
Club.
No. Come on. I know you can do this. Come I can't on. Be seen I'm... at. What club can he not be seen at?
Tough second week question, that one.
It's maybe a tough second, but I thought you'd know it.
I'm happy to let you think about it while we do mine.
Oh.
Because I want to see you get it. I don't know it, but I want to see you get it.
Yeah, okay. All right, keep seeing it.
You can't be seen at what club?
Okay.
It's you know where it is. You've seen it. You see him walk in. He's got the weird leather trousers on.
Yeah, great shot of him walking in.
Lovely. I know that I'm picturing the song as it comes in. Yeah, tracking shot as he comes in, and you see everyone going, looking at him, eyeing him up. Verona, what are you doing here tonight? Yeah.
Still there. It's a tough one. But Patrick, on to you. Fawlty Towers.
Yes.
Question one. In which seaside town is the series based?
Torquay. Hang on, come on. This is third week.
The difference is, Tom, is that you and I...
No, that's not a third week question.
Listen, Tom, in you and I know 10 Things I Hate About You inside out.
Tom, this is valuable thinking time. No, but genuinely,
if you'd ask... That is not a third week.
Yeah, but Tom, I don't know this. Genuinely, if you asked me earlier today, where's it set, I wouldn't know the... I don't know... I didn't know Torquay.
Wow.
I'm not that involved with Fawlty Towers. I've maybe seen it through... twice, and I've seen classic episodes
more
than that.
I've never seen all the way through. There's some episodes I've never seen, and I know it's Torquay.
And there's only 12.
There's only 12.
She was only 12.
all right,
this is valuable thinking time, Tom.
All right, what is the name of the French restaurant owner who comes to Basil's rescue on gourmet night?
Oh,
Happy Tom.
Yeah, it's better.
Andre.
That's correct, Patrick. What is the false name used by the con man in the first episode?
Lord Melbury.
Lord Melbury is correct. What is the name of the builder that Sybil wants to do the work in the hotel?
Oh. Is it... Is it Stacks?
That's very close. It's Stubbs.
Stubbs.
Well, I'll take the draw.
Tom will take the draw and find... Well, you might have won it, Tom.
We'll see.
What is the name of the horse on which Basil places a bet?
Dragonfly.
Dragonfly. It's 4 apiece. Tom, any guesses at all for that last question? I think you know it. I think it's in your brain.
I don't think it's there. For some reason, I keep having Club Met, but that's not what it is. It's Club...
It's Club Skunk.
I can't be seen as Skunk now. Got it.
It's 4 apiece, guys, so we take the subjects into next week. Pat!
Fantastic.
It's going very well for you. But we've got the snitch to decide who takes the win this evening. Now, guys, we all know that Harry's best friend... or one of Harry's best friends, is Hermione Granger.
Okay.
Now, in the year 2000, my brother Dom was in a series of Grange Hill.
Okay.
Schools were recently in the news.
Mm-hmm.
News is the opposite of old. But how old is East 17 singer Brian Harvey? Our weekly Harry Potter question. Now this... This is the most serious I've ever seen either of you take a snitch. Looking at your faces, because...
Okay.
I know you could both get the right answer if you put your mind to it.
I think Tom's going to get this much more correct than I'm going to get this.
All right.
Okay. You're like 100% more correct than me, I think.
are you doing some working out, Tom?
No, I'm going to write it down, so...
Okay.
Yeah, give me...
Is that your little Hufflepuff book, Tom?
It is, yeah.
That's fun.
It's what Codes in the Clouds bought us.
Yeah, I'm using my one.
Ready.
Hang on, Pat, I need your guess first.
I just need to carry the one. I'm going to say 43.
Pat said 43. And Thomas, what have you said, mate?
Right. Well, I thought their heyday was just before Ronnie O'Sullivan's. Ronnie O'Sullivan's first
Very good.
Well, he appeared on the scene, and he's now 44, 45. So I thought they were a bit earlier than him, because 1994 was Stay Another Day. Yeah. So I've gone for 47.
47. Okay, well, I can tell you that the correct answer is 40.
Mm-hmm.
Six, Tom takes
it.
Very, very nice. Yeah. That was some, Tom, that was some brilliant working out.
I just was like, because Ronnie O'Sullivan's age has been played so much recently, and I was thinking, well, if he's, yeah. I can't even remember what year it is, 44 or 45. But they must be around that.
If you could, I mean,
the only way is he's remained at the top of his game for 20 years.
In terms of peaks, in terms of like being at the top of your game, it's like you would have been at the same age you were if you did Stay Another Day. That's the equivalent of the 5 minute 147.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Like yeah. That song and that break.
I say at his peak, when he appeared on the scene, was like 1996, I think. But he didn't win his first world title till 2002.
I don't know, but the 5 minute 147 is 97, isn't it? I think.
Is it? Oh right.
That might be wrong. I don't know. Someone. Hey, that's a fun peeve for next week, the week after.
If you can do a 5 minute 147, that is guaranteed popularity wise to help you to stay another day. But if you do Stay Another Day, in the grand scheme of things, you're out quicker than a 5 minute 147.
I would like to think that Ronnie and Brian would be friends. Sorry, yeah, Brian Harvey.
Yeah, Brian Harvey like... with his
Tony Mortal was the songwriter though, wasn't he?
Do you remember when Brian Harvey ran himself over because he fell out of his car and he said he'd eaten too many baked potatoes?
He was being sick from the baked potatoes.
He was being sick because he ate too many baked potatoes, fell out of his car and ran himself over.
Yeah.
That is a man who is now 46.
I like that Tom measures time in Ronnie's.
That is how I measure time. That is how I measure time.
All right. Yeah, so listeners, we won't be here next week. Don't be scared. We will be back. Look, and there will be something for you next week. Whoa. But
Joe's away. I'm going to be away again. I'm going to Devon.
Although things are a little teaser for the next time we do speak to you in 2 weeks' time. This week I'm going to see Tenet on an IMAX screen. So that'll be exciting to report back to you on. There are plans made. Let's see if they happen for me to see Patrick Holland in the flesh and maybe have a beer with him.
Mm.
Now that would be nice.
What?
Well, this is this weekend when I'm back down that way, and we talked about doing a house recording, a recording around a table again for the first time in months. But you can't make it work. But if I stay another day, Joe's got to go away, baby.
So when's this beer?
The beer will probably be Sunday evening, maybe Saturday evening. It depends what day my family decide to have lunch. Okay. They
just
only
let you
eat
know,
one
Pat,
day a week.
Make sure you in advance tell Joe where you're going to be so he can't be there.
Yeah. So you can stand me up again. That's all right, I'll drink his.
Double win. All right. Thank you so much, Home Weirdos, for listening. Hope some of you are on your holidays listening to this. Tell us where you're listening to it. Get in touch with the show. You can on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at ATTAPod, or you can via email ATTAPod@gmail.com. Because next week we've got a little something for you coming out, but it's not going to be a full episode. Now's the time for someone to catch up with the previous back catalogue. You can on all good places in the podcast. I've noticed this about podcasts. They don't really have to mention where they are now, just because it's such a given.
Yeah. If you want to listen, Google where to find it. There
you'll
go.
Find us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on all you'll the places us. You can get a podcast, I think.
If your friend goes, oh, where do I just go? You'll find them. You'll find them. Don't
whatever waste whatever time. Whatever your pipe them. Is, whatever your speaker system is, you'll find it. It'll be there.
Yeah.
You'll
Joe Rogan's moving to Spotify. We've been there for years.
We've been on Spotify for ages.
Ages. Spotify, audio, boom, all of those.
All that. And listeners, if you have a preferred podcast app that we're not on, let us know. We'll try and fix that issue. I don't think there are any, but.
No.
Hey.
But let us know. But. thanks so much. We will be back in 2 weeks, but enjoy next week's special little episode. All remains to be said is my name is Tom Tolt.
My name is Patrick Holland.
I am Joe Power.
This has been After All This Time.
Always.
Bye, guys.
You could have said...
I was going to say...
Could have said... Yeah.
Cut.